Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today is June 16th, 2008. It becomes more apparent than ever that the United States of America is a culture caught in the crosshairs. There comes a time when God Almighty says, enough is enough. I've drawn the line. You've gone too far. You've not listened to me. You've not returned from your wicked ways. And I will judge you and make an example of you. And also fear my name as I rise to the prey. It should not be that way, but it's sad to say that it is. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 43, it says, "Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people." God rises up in judgment, rises up to the prey, but he makes a distinction for those that love him and are his people, bought by a price, the precious blood of his own son, Jesus Christ. God has enemies. God has adversaries. God has people that literally hate him. The wickedness of wicked men is so wicked, you cannot fully know it. It is detestable. And there was times in history when God rose up to see and to truly look at the wickedness, and he made it determinate that he would judge it. The time of Noah's flood. Time of Lot with Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's multiple cultures, civilizations that are no more. We could think about them in history. The Mayans, the Aztecs, the Incas. Where's Atlantis? So it was a historical place. In the 1980s, a pyramidal city was discovered off the coast of Japan. It's called the Yanunugi. Where is the culture that formed the ancient pyramids, Pyramid Giza? The Minoans. These are nations that knew not God, and he destroyed them. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, is one of the most amazing prayers. It was a prayer of Hannah, where a great reversal. She praises God for doing what is right and rewarding the wicked in judgment and blessing the righteous. But verse 10 says this, "The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength to his king, and shall exalt the horn or strength of his anointed." The king that the Father has set on his holy hill of Zion is the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. He's anointed him with the Holy Spirit without measure, and those that are in Christ are anointed with him and will sit with him in his throne as he sits in the throne of his Father. And this is the reward of being an obedient one in Jesus Christ, abiding in him and his word abiding in you. "For the Lord God surely will judge and confound the wicked. Now every device, every plot, and every plan will he plunder and great power. Fear the Lord and give him glory." In Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Chapter 3, "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bone till the morning. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence of the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning does he bring his judgment to light. He fails not, but the unjust knows no shame. And God had called them to fear him and repent, but they would not. Now listen, verse 8. Therefore wait ye upon me, says the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. This is a day to fear the Lord, to draw near to him, to be cleansed, to receive the grace that's abundant in Jesus Christ. God has turned away his wrath through his Son Jesus. If you're in Jesus Christ in truth, his wrath is turned away. It is not intended for you. But those that mock God and despise him, hate him, doing wickedly, woe. And they that are hypocrites, that act religious, but not with one finger do they obey the Lord, that lie, that steal, that hate others, that commit iniquity, covetous, wanting what's others, they are outside the kingdom of God. They'll have no inheritance. Many, many will be thrust out into outer darkness. This is the time when the Lord is sharpening his sword and will dip it into the blood of the wicked. Verse 41 of Deuteronomy 32, God says, if I sharpen my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies, and I will reward them that hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O you nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Judgment comes forth for the glory of God Almighty. God rights the wrong, rewards the righteous, and brings down the wicked. And this is why we need to pursue the Lord. Repent. 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 2,000 years ago, there was a man named John. He was a man sent by God, a forerunner to Jesus Christ. What was he about? What was his message? In Matthew chapter 3 and following, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his clothing of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him in Jerusalem all in Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. The message in that day, of whom this man Jesus referred as no greater prophet as John the Baptist, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus Christ is the King. We're to repent. We're to stop. Take note. Confess our sins. Be sorry. Change. Can't help but notice that John the Baptist was an austere man. He wasn't one of the religious world. He looked different. He sounded different. He ate different. His message was different. And he was a great prophet. It cost him his head. His message of repentance went right up to the top leadership. And they put a decree to have his head removed. He did it joyfully. Can you imagine yourself in those days, outside the city, outside the religious system, hearing of a man proclaiming such a message? But there was many that wanted to get right with God. There's many that wanted to hear. There's many that were rejoicing in that day because of the truth. The offer to be forgiven. The way of a transgressor is hard. The weight of sin is heavy. The yoke of the tyrannical Satan, the devil, is crushing. But we can repent. We can believe on Jesus, and the weight of the sin is washed away. I can imagine the people crying. It's for the joy of being immersed that day as they stood there, confessed their sins, and were baptized in the water, walked a new life. John the Baptist saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, and he said to them, "Oh, you generation of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the barn garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." The same call of the Spirit of God is going forth today. Come outside of the religious system. Come outside of the hypocrisy. Come outside of glorying in man and glorying in the things created by man and institutions and steeples, religious activity, and repent before God. Repent before his King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul spoke of Jesus Christ, how we are brought into a circumcision made without hands. The body of sins was bent away through the circumcision that's in Christ. This is in Colossians chapter 2. That we're buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. And at one time we were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh, but now he's quickened us together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. All those things, the weight of the law, which is death, you're guilty, was nailed to the cross, abolished in Jesus Christ. But put on the new man. Put off the old man and his deeds, which are corrupt, and walk in love, walk in purity and simple. Behold, what a marvel, the mystery of the salvation of God. Choose the salvation of God, it's in Jesus Christ, or choose his wrath. In Ephesians 2:7, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. It'll take you ages to understand the riches of God's grace towards you, but it will not take you long to understand what you've lost. In Jesus' name.